WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office is out with a new projection on how much the president's big budget bill will cost. The CBO says it will cut taxes by about $3.7 trillion and raise the deficit by $2.4 trillion. And it will also leave 11 million people without health insurance by the year 2034. Elon Musk has called the bill a disgusting abomination. Reaction from House Speaker Mike Johnson, who's been speaking with the president.
Obviously, we've talked about this. He's not delighted that Elon did a 180 on that.
The FBI has arrested a man at New York's JFK Airport in connection with the bombing of a Palm Springs fertility clinic. The main suspect, Guy Edwards Bartkus, died in the explosion. The president's tariffs on steel and aluminum jumping from 25% to 50% overnight. Quiet day in Tiananmen Square today. This is the 36th anniversary of the bloody crackdown there in Beijing. This is ABC News.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Finally, they may have a solution to the coal piles on prime waterfront real estate in downtown Green Bay. A joint statement from C. Rice, the owner of the coal, and Brown County says entities have reached a tentative agreement that is being put in writing. The Brown County Board of Supervisors will vote on the agreement in a special meeting Thursday at 7 p.m. The deal comes just in time as the state of Wisconsin had placed a deadline of Tuesday evening to reach a deal or risk losing a state grant of $15 million to expand port operations in the area. The coal piles have been on that riverfront property for 125 years. Talks of relocation have been going on for decades.
October 27th is the trial date set for Taylor Shabusiness, who faces charges of assaulting a Tichita Correctional Institution staff member. Shabusiness is currently serving life in prison for the murder and dismemberment of Shad Therian in Green Bay. She was brought into the courtroom Tuesday, strapped to a chair with her hands and feet bound and surrounded by four officers. While appearing in court back on April 4th, Shabusiness attacked her attorney before being restrained by deputies. That was the second time that Shabusiness had attacked an attorney. She also attacked a different attorney during a hearing for her murder case. The new Mary Beth Nienhaus Activity Center opened this week on East College Avenue in Appleton, offering more than 300 activities for senior citizens from pickleball to pool to yoga and tai chi. Executive Director Don Golke said Mary Beth Nienhaus donated $2 million to the facility. And now she's matching donations dollar for dollar up to $400,000 as the center builds an endowment fund to ensure future operations. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
The Packers meet with the media. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens in Green Bay, where the Packers held press conferences after another day of OTA practices. Lucas Van Ness saying it was difficult playing defensive end all last season after suffering a broken thumb in spring practice.
I wore a full cast all the way until about week 10 or 11, I'm not exactly sure, and then kind of had some lingering issues. So I wore it most of the season, which is kind of always limited to playing on just that right side of the defensive line. So I'm excited to get back and kind of have the ability to go and play on both sides again.
Baseball. The Brewers losing last night to the Reds 4-2. After the game, Pat Murphy got more bad news. Brandon Woodruff, out since September of 2023, was pitching in his final rehab stint in Nashville when the big right-hander was hit in the elbow by a comeback hit traveling 108 miles an hour.
He took a line drive off the elbow, right elbow. The x-rays are negative from what I understand, but we want to get him. We fly him back and we'll get him the CT scan and get it all checked out.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We are going to be dealing with more of that smoky haze from Canadian wildfires today. Clouds this morning. The sun will try to get through that haze this afternoon, 77. The smoke will let up tonight, and we'll get a break from that for a couple of days. 54 tonight. Partly cloudy, 80 our high tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
It's our Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest. Your daily chance to win a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets or $100 cash.
Plus, every entry puts you into one of our grand prize drawings of a Wisconsin vacation in Baraboo or Door County.
This hour's keyword is Bloom, B-L-O-O-M. You heard that right. Bloom, B-L-O-O-M.
This hour, you're playing for a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. Text in the keyword right now through the Civic Media app. You have until the end of this hour.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based stand-up comedian Brian Hicks and Civic Media-based talk show host Todd Alba, who will take a Nightlight quiz. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, happy Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. It's also Congressman Mark Pocan will be with us in just a few minutes for the entire hour, taking your calls, Middays with Mark. It's our Middays with Mark Day. So if you want to get in line to ask him a question, 202-808-9925 is our telephone number. In the second hour of our program, David Pepper, the former chair of the Ohio Democratic Party, is going to drop by, a professor at the University of Ohio. He's going to drop by and talk about DOGE. He says, was it a truly unprecedented transfer of governmental power to a private entity in real time? We'll unpack that. Also in the second hour of the program, the normalization of evil. We thought we were free. Say what? In the third hour of our program, chaos everywhere. Is this the beginning of the unraveling of Taco Trump? Or is he consolidating power? And geeky science, insects, half the tree of life is disappearing. I don't think this ends well. So we got a lot to talk about today. But first, our first entire hour, Congressman Mark Pocan, the former chair, the chair emeritus of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, representing the 2nd District of Wisconsin in the U.S. House of Representatives, co-founder and co-chair of the Labor Council Caucus, chair of the Congressional Equality Caucus. Pocan.house.gov is his website. Over on Blue Sky and on Twitter, you can find him at pocan.house.gov. And Congressman, welcome back to the program. I'm curious, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, hey, thanks for having me, Tom. It's great to be with you again. I think really this big, ugly bill that's going through Washington, it's now going to the Senate, but Elon Musk saying it's the atrocity that it is, his view on spending. We've had Mike Johnson, other Republicans claiming it doesn't kick anyone off of Medicaid or food assistance. And it's been proven to be a lie by, the Congressional Budget Office and others. Now Elon Musk, now other Republicans in the Senate. They're in a pretty interesting place trying to move this forward. Obviously, their holy grail is tax breaks for the wealthiest. It's the people who are their donor class supporting them. But in order to do so, they have to cut healthcare from almost 14 million people, food assistance from almost 11 million people. Medicare by $500 billion is kind of an unintended consequence that they didn't bother to fix. There's a lot of a mess that we all have to fight back to make sure it doesn't happen.
Congressman, it seems like there's like layers of mess, layers of confusion within layers of confusion. You mentioned the $500 billion cut to Medicare, which is just an automatic thing that kicks in when Medicaid gets cut that badly as a result of the old PAYGO program that goes back to what, Clinton era? It seems to me like probably their plan B, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it seems like the most rational plan B right now will be for them to propose a continuing resolution to maintain funding where it is and slightly raise the debt ceiling and just kind of wash their hands of this whole mess. What do you think? How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, so appropriations process is kind of separate, right? This is about a tax cut for the wealthiest, a tax cut for Elon Musk and Donald Trump and everyone who can belong to Mar-a-Lago. In order to do so, some of it's funny money with tariffs, part of why Donald Trump's pushing tariffs. Some of it is the cuts, and that's the cuts to healthcare and food assistance and education that are wildly unpopular. But they're trying to do this all through a reconciliation process. And all that is a fancy word for getting around the filibuster rules in the Senate. Once a fiscal year, they can do that. But, you know, you're right. There's so many layers of bad. I mean, then they did weird things like, you know, if you're on food assistance, it used to be if you had children under 18 that you didn't have to meet a work requirement like most people do. But now they lowered that to kids under 8. So once your kid's 8, supposedly, I guess they're old enough to work at the mine, you know, suddenly that changes rules. But, you know, I think people haven't even heard of that provision or changing ratios of staff to patients at nursing homes. Again, not related to the bill, but they threw it in. And I think there's a lot of those things that are just wildly unpopular when people find out about them. And they're really going to have to figure out how to move forward.
So this is one of those, they used to refer to them as Christmas tree pieces of legislation. It's got all kinds of little gifts hanging from it for all the various lobbyists.
It took away a fee on silencers for guns for one member who owns a gun shop. Oh, no, that wasn't for his personal interest, right? I mean, like, there's so many stupid things built in. That's why they did these votes in the dark of night, why they didn't let anyone take time to really digest it on the Republican side. They just voted on it. But, you know, the Senate's clearly not going to pass something with a half a trillion dollar cut to Medicare like every Republican, except for three people, voted for. So, you know, I think there's a lot of explaining to do. I did a town hall in Derek Van Orden's district and my neighboring district in Wisconsin over the weekend. People hate, I mean, really hate this bill. And we're seeing it in the polling as well. So how the Senate fixes it, how the House tries to then, you know, to reconcile it closer to their version. But at the end of the day, this is about as unpopular a bill as I have seen in my time in office.
Yeah. Yeah. It really, truly seems like a remarkable moment in time. What are the deadlines here? When are we going to start knowing how things are going to shake out?
Getting
real?
Yeah, it's largely all artificial deadlines. You know, Donald Trump wants to sign it by July 4th. But, you know, it may be harder for the Senate to get all that action done and then get a reconciled version with the House. That could be a little ambitious, but they don't have to do it by that date. The only thing it's kind of pressing is the debt ceiling a little bit. And part of that is lifting the debt ceiling in this bill. But man, this blows a huge hole into the national debt, something Republicans used to say they cared about. Clearly, that's complete BS these days, because as long as it provides a tax break for the wealthy, they'll do pretty much anything. But, you know, it's really those cuts. You know, I wake up to bad and worse choices every day, Tom. I'm all for bad choices. And for me, the bad choices are trying to stop the cuts to healthcare, stop the cuts to education, stop the cuts to food assistance for the number one program, keeping kids out of poverty. And, you know, I think most people across the country, we're seeing it polling, don't support those cuts either. In fact, most of them don't know it's in there. When you start to tell people what's in the bill, and you very fairly say both, you know, what Republicans would say the good is as well as the bad, it actually loses support from where it's at right now. So this is something that's only going to be, you know, a weight tied to them unless they seriously change what it looks like.
If I could change the topic real quick And then we'll get to our callers. Bernie Sanders was in London this week, and he did an extensive interview with the editorial staff of The Guardian. And one of the points that he made, which really struck me, was he said that there's a class war going on. The people at the top are waging that war. This was the basis of Trump's victory, that he claimed there was a class war and that he would be the class warrior for the people on the bottom, when in fact he was lying. It was the exact opposite. And Bernie says if Democrats want to start winning elections, they have to go back to the really solid stuff. They have to start talking about everybody having health care at a low cost or no cost, everybody having access to education, getting big corporations out of the housing market and making housing, you know, low cost housing available to people, you know, just straightforward you know, good old fashioned, go back to FDR's, you know, Four Freedoms and Second Bill of Rights stuff. And his concern is that there's still enough of these, you know, Josh Gottheimer, Jared Golden types, you know, the corporate Democrats with their hands out to whoever's, you know, whichever lobbyist is passing out the most cash this week, that the Democratic Party won't be able to do that. What are your thoughts on all that, particularly as you know, you having been the former chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus?
Yeah, we had a Progressive Caucus retreat yesterday, all-day retreat, and Bernie came by, so we had some of this conversation. And in healthcare, I think, is a great example. You know, who doesn't think that you shouldn't have healthcare in this country, and yet we don't because of all the special interests? But maybe this is an issue we should go back and double and triple down on, because it does provide that difference. The only thing worse than what Donald Trump is doing to this country is the fact that people also don't like the Democrats right now, which we're seeing poll after poll after poll, which is kind of counterintuitive. You'd think that if they don't like Republicans for taking away health care and food assistance and education, that you'd like Democrats. But they're not seeing what they see in Democrats as something that they like either.
Don't you think, though, that that's because the Republicans, using, you know, billionaire money, have been so successful in characterizing Democrats as people who only care about trans people? I mean, that was 80% of the advertising against Kamala Harris, or some massive percentage of it, and black people. And so, you know, white people are like, well, you know, if, even white people who aren't bigots are like, well, you know, so they care about trans people and black people. They don't care about me. Why should I vote for them?
That's certainly a part of it. But also, what's that alternative agenda that we're offering?
That's my point. It's being lost completely because the Republicans have painted us successfully.
Well, and also, to be fair, I don't think we have a figurehead for the party right now. Right. I mean, you know, and when you don't have that one person that's the alternative, you have many people and the message gets a little bit diluted. And I do think that makes it difficult to get it across. But, you know, what Bernie's point is, and I think the Progressive Caucus's point as well, look, we right now, corruption is going to be a huge issue. Watching this administration and this Congress, we should really probably double and triple down on talking about corruption, because it's clearly a factor.
That's a good one, too.
And that includes campaign finance reform, right? I mean, that's why we can't get health care to move forward, right? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about health care. Let's talk about some of these core economic issues that people really think about when they're at the kitchen table.
Yeah, I'm with you. And maybe the environment is these crises, these
weather
crises.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Congressman Mark Pocan, Chair Emeritus of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, with us for the hour taking your calls. We'll pick them up right on the other side of this break. Stay with us. If you're over 50 and experiencing joint stiffness, thinning hair, sagging skin, or brittle nails, there's a critical reason why, and ignoring it could accelerate your aging from the inside out. A respected Texas doctor of physical therapy is sounding the alarm on a rapid decline in collagen, a structural protein essential for strong bones, flexible joints, and youthful skin. By age 50, your collagen levels may have dropped by over 50%, leaving your body vulnerable to pain, weakness, and visible signs of aging. That's why millions have turned to Native Path Collagen to restore what time takes away. This is a clinically supported bioavailable collagen peptide that's helping men and women significantly strengthen bones and reduce joint pain, visibly reduce wrinkles and sagging skin, boost hair fullness and reverse nail damage, improve cellulite appearance, and feel real results in as little as 14 days. Right now, as a Tom Hartman listener, you can claim up to 45% off for a limited time at getnativepath.com/Hartman. Go to getnativepath.com/Hartman. Supplies are limited and demand is surging.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
It's our Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest. Your daily chance to win a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets or $100 cash.
Plus, every entry puts you into one of our grand prize drawings of a Wisconsin vacation in Baraboo or Door County.
This hour's keyword is Bloom, B-L-O-O-M. You heard that right. Bloom, B-L-O-O-M.
This hour, you're playing for a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. Text in the keyword right now through the Civic Media app. You have until the end of this hour.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump recently announced pardons to a range of individuals, including convicted drug dealers, fraudsters, and convicted public officials. ABC News reports one in five have political or financial ties to the president. Scott Jenkins, a former Culpeper County, Virginia sheriff, had been sentenced to 10 years for taking $75,000 in bribes in exchange for issuing deputy sheriff's badges. Jenkins had been a longtime Trump supporter. Ardent Trump acolyte Michelle Fiore had not yet been sentenced when she received her pardon on April 23rd. A former member of the Nevada Assembly, she was convicted of six counts of wire fraud for skimming money from a memorial for a slain Las Vegas police officer. She used the money for rent, plastic surgery, and her daughter's wedding. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was pardoned in February after endorsing Trump's 2020 and 2024 campaigns. Blagojevich appeared on Trump's Celebrity Apprentice in 2010, but was convicted in 2011 of attempting to sell President Barack Obama's vacated U.S. Senate seat, among other corruption charges. Former Kentucky State Senator and 2016 congressional candidate Brian Kelsey served only 2 weeks of a 21-month sentence on federal campaign finance violations before he was pardoned in March. We have a full list of Trump's pardons at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian.
Matinee on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matinee on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
Hey, do you trust your deodorant? Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all over odors before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorant for the whole body odor control. Safe for your pits, packages, and feet, Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants we're used to just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, a clinically proven agent to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. Use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide on your first Mando purchase with the code TOM, T-H-O-M, at shopmando.com. Plus, shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with code TOM, T-H-O-M, at shopmando, M-A-N-D-O, at shopmando.com. And welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here for Congressman Mark Pocan in our National Progressive Town Hall meeting, Middays with Mark. Ron in Hamilton Field, California. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Congressman, specifically, I'm in my 80s. I go back to the 1960s when we had to deal with organic foods, and finally they were basically purified commercially. And basically polluted with the eventuality of allowing low levels of toxins. When this new program came out called Make America Healthy Again, and in there, I'm quite surprised that they admit the corruption of U.S. agencies in relationship to the influences of the corporate who had basically policies going through these agencies for regulation. And basically, this new MAHA report came out saying that this was corruption inside of the system. Now, my problem is, we do have an entire population now contaminated with the food products and the substances in them. Now, when they don't always label, they say, well, we're not labeling something because it's such a low level that it doesn't have a causation factor. Well, unfortunately, when you continue
to... So, Ron, what's your question for Congressman Pocan?
That's what I'm trying to ask right now. How are we going to work with these products when they bioaccumulate the low levels in us? What are we going to do to stop it? The big issue is, sir, are we looking at the biotransmission, the mother to...
Got it. Congressman?
Sure. I think this is one where, you know, was interesting. We had Secretary RFK Jr. in front of my subcommittee on probes. And one of the things is one of the Republicans started kind of chastising him for going after a certain color dye that's a carcinogenic that's in some candy from a manufacturer in his district. And so you had the Republican criticizing him. And then I said, no, keep it up. Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those areas. Maybe there's a little crossover, party on that issue, trying to have healthier foods in general. But, you know, that's kind of common sense. The problem is, if they really believe that, then let's not, you know, take away the food subsidy, the number one program that keeps kids out of poverty, because you can barely afford healthy foods anyway. And you're only going to make it worse so that those badly, highly processed foods are what people can afford. So we need more than just, you know, a couple good ideas in a report. We need a much better overall effort. I'm glad at least there's some good language in there. But if the Republicans on the committee are fighting back on behalf of corporations to keep, you know, those chemicals in things, we'll see how far that Secretary Kennedy can actually get with some of that agenda.
There you go. And even a broken clock is right twice a day. David, right. In San Francisco, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan. We just have a minute and a little more than a minute here. If you got a quick question, David, please.
Well, the expression or catchphrase, cost-effective life, Republicans all the way back to Hitler used the idea that it was too expensive to let labor leaders live or the disabled live or the elderly live. They said it was too expensive and that they were useless bread eaters. And that's how they locked them in the concentration camp to start. And when you see this brand new budget that's basically using funny money, you know, Trump started the year off by saying he was going to take the gold of America and buy Bitcoin with it and then balance the budget. Now, that's a shell game. And then he, with that shell game,
so,
where
David,
the budget
what's your question?
Goes, well, where the budget goes after that, they get to say, oh, these people are too expensive to live. So they doctor the books and then they kill people.
Congressman, your thoughts?
Yeah, David, I think the best example, I think, of what you're trying to say was Joni Ernst this weekend when she was asked about people who will die because of provisions in this big, ugly bill. And her response is, well, we're all going to die. You know, you can't get much more callous than that. And unfortunately, that whole bill is that statement personified in numbers and in values and cuts. So you are correct. I just think that, you know, Joni Ernst probably did the best to clarify that issue in a single phrase. And just, we need to remind everyone of that.
Amen. 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Call it the We're All Gonna Die Bill. 27 minutes past the hour. Congressman Mark Pocan with us for the hour, taking your calls. It's Middays with Mark.
Old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Lately, it seems like the wall between church and state is under full-scale attack.
In Texas, lawmakers want to post the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms and give school boards power to approve prayer sessions and Bible readings. At the federal level, a new bill just passed the House that removes Medicaid coverage for gender-affirming care, not just for youth, but everyone. And the Supreme Court, they're about to hear a case that could let religious charter schools access public funding, completely blurring the line between church and state. If this sounds extreme, that's because it is. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has been pushing back since 1978. They're on the front lines defending the Constitution, making sure public funds, public schools, and public policy stay secular. If you believe in facts over faith-based legislation, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/freedom or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's, to 511-511 and become a member today. Join us and go to ffrf.us/freedom or text Hartman to 511-511 to support their work. Because when religion starts driving public policy, democracy takes a back seat.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow will be on the show, along with Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. We'll talk politics, Packers, and life. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. This is a story we've been following for a while. The National Weather Service is facing severe staffing shortages. None of its Wisconsin offices currently has a chief meteorologist on staff. Savannah Tomei Olson has the latest.
Earlier this year, Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency cut or offered an approved early retirement to more than 500 employees of the National Weather Service, which monitors our severe weather, issues warnings, and surveys emergencies. And now, 30 NWS offices across the nation are without a chief meteorologist, including all of the ones here in Wisconsin. The state is covered by five NWS posts. Green Bay, Milwaukee, and La Crosse are based here, and the northwestern Wisconsin is covered by two offices in Minnesota. But neither Green Bay nor Milwaukee nor La Crosse have a chief meteorologist in charge right now. The Green Bay office had been launching weather balloons twice a day for about 80 years. Those balloons go up and collect data that can help create more accurate forecasts. Because of cuts from the Trump administration, the Green Bay Post had to cut half their launches, and now they only do one per day. At least six offices in the country have had to suspend all overnight operations, meaning they're not properly staffed if there's any sort of severe weather event overnight. Now, according to reporting from CNN, the National Weather Service is about to hire about 125 new meteorologists and specialists. It's the start of hurricane season, which is expected to be more active than normal. And here at home, it's severe weather season. We've already had 22 tornadoes hit Wisconsin in 2025. On average, we usually only get 23 in a whole year. And June is the peak month for tornado activity here in Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
We are going to be dealing with more of that smoky haze from Canadian wildfires today. The sun will try to get through that haze this afternoon, 77. The smoke will let up tonight, and we'll get a break from that for a couple of days, 54 tonight. Partly cloudy, 80 are high tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
It's Pride Month, and Northeast Wisconsin is blooming with opportunities to celebrate. Dana Johnson with Fox Valley Pride and Mel Davis of Rainbow Alliance Advocacy will be our guides.
Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3. Your support.
you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Congressman Mark Pocan is with us for the hour. Middays with Mark, taking your calls in a National Progressive Town Hall meeting. Ann in Trinity, Florida, listening to WMNF. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, hi. I'm calling. I wanted to say, one, that I agree 100% with what Bernie is saying about what Democrats need to speak to. We need to kind of forget about the Jim Carvels. He's getting influenced too much by Mary. And I also agree with Ziggy about the emails that we're getting. I think that what I wanted to call about is one of the things that I think where Democrats, the low rating that the Democrats are getting right now, which really should not be happening considering what Republicans are doing, is that people are not seeing Democrats doing anything in action. And when I hear that it's being reported that Elon Musk is making more of a hoo-ha regarding this bill than the Democrats are, there's an issue. Because it shouldn't be that Elon Musk is more upset about this bill, and I know that he isn't. And so my thoughts are, the Democrats need to do things in groups. They need to have a press conference on a daily basis, every other day. But there needs to be at least 10 to a dozen of you, representatives and senators. And then I think some of the stuff that you're saying will start to get some traction. Representative Goldman had a press conference the other day, and you don't hear about it. It doesn't really make the news. And I think that that's the Democrats doing things in groups is how you will begin to get traction.
Yeah, and I wish it were that easy, but I'm glad you recognized the problem that we have. I think every day there's people talking about this bill and doing things, but if the mainstream media or, for that matter, cable networks don't pick it up, you wouldn't know what happens. What's unique about Elon Musk is he's from the inner core of the Trump world saying something, so they're all covering that, but it's not because of the same complaints we have about the cuts to healthcare or food assistance. It's because he wants deeper cuts, right? So that's, I think, part of why they're covering that. But, you know, this has been something I think we've talked with this program since day one when I've been on here is, you know, if you say it, it doesn't actually get said if it's not picked up by the press. And leadership members, you know, I think there's 30 of us now going into Republican districts on a regular basis talking about this. So we are getting the coverage at the local level. But, you know, if you're just looking at cable news, fine. But, you know, they don't cover everything that's said and everything that's done. People are saying things. I think the bigger problem is we don't have a singular person you go to for a comment. You know, when you had a president, you go to the president. But right now, you know, they don't just go to Hakeem Jeffries. I wish they would, bluntly, because I think he's probably one of the better people to deliver the message of the leadership right now that we have. But it's frustrating, trust me, for those of us who have tried to get the message across. But at least if we can get it across in the local media in districts, that's where we can hopefully have some impacts going into next year's elections.
Vinola in Washington, D.C., you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My question is regarding voter suppression. Since 2020, hundreds of voter suppression laws have been passed throughout the country. And we learned from Greg Palast on actually this program that voter suppression won the election, not Donald Trump, because so many votes were stolen. And what I never hear the Democrats talk about voter suppression, and it leaves people of color whose votes are actually suppressed thinking that the Democratic Party, first of all, takes us for granted and don't care about our votes. So I want to know, what do you have planned to fight voter suppression laws in all of those states that supposedly stole elections, because you're not talking about it? So hopefully you're doing something about it behind the scenes. And that's my question.
Yeah, Vanilla, so this shows short memories a little bit because the number one bill that the H.R. 1, so it's literally the first bill introduced by Democrats when we were in control of the House for two sessions and passed, was H.R. 1, the most comprehensive campaign finance, ethics and elections reform bill that addressed many of the problems that we're seeing individual states do to suppress votes. The problem is because the Senate rules, you needed 60 votes, and they never had 60 votes in the Senate to pass those. So despite passing them in the House, the filibuster rules did not let those bills pass. But literally, it was the first bill we named and voted on in the House for two sessions in a row when Democrats were in charge. So clearly, Democrats have said something about it. But right now, it is a fight largely state by state with the current makeup of Congress. And we always have to be vigilant of that. But anyone who thinks that we didn't lose the election, I really believe in November, due to the headwinds of coming out of COVID with inflation. We saw that in, I think, a dozen countries across the world that are similar to us. The ruling party was thrown out. It was the number one issue in exit polls by people who did vote. 50% said the economy. And of course, Donald Trump's done nothing about it. He promised he would. And I think it's one of the things working against him right now. But, you know, there were real headwinds that people have to remember in that election in November. But across the globe, those were those headwinds. But we absolutely need to address any kind of voter suppression. We absolutely have, with the very first bill introduced by Democrats. And we just have to figure out how to get that through with a Senate that may not have a 60-vote margin to help us.
Yeah. Greg, by the way, who is a former BBC reporter, did the math on this. Lays it out in extraordinary detail, and found, going swing state by swing state, looking at the states where the Republicans had purged large numbers of mostly black and Hispanic voters from the voting rolls, that 4.2 million people were either purged from the voting rolls or were given provisional ballots that were never counted. And had those people been allowed to vote, there would have been an overwhelming victory for Kamala Harris. So, you know, for what it's worth.
And that's part of why H.R. 1 was the bill that was the very first bill introduced by Democrats. The problem is those Senate rules make it difficult.
I get it. It's just it's shocking to me that most Americans don't know this. I think if Democrats were suppressing the votes of Republican voters, if Democrats were purging voting rolls by sending postcards into upper middle class white neighborhoods and then purging people off the voting rolls when they get a 1% return rate like they're doing in black neighborhoods in Ohio and in Georgia and Florida and Texas, the Republicans would be screaming and it would be on the news every night. I think that's the point that she was making and that I'm making. But anyway, let's move along. Hills in Santa Barbara. Hey, Hills, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good morning. The MAGA movement flouting the law, which is against congressional oversight, you know, allowed Kyle Rittenhouse to, you know, never be charged after he just, you know, cold dead, you know, killed two people.
He was charged, but he was found not guilty.
Oh, my word. Now he's a big hero.
Yeah.
And then Heather Heyer was mowed down by a counter protester. And, you know, I'm not sure about charges and convictions.
He went to prison for killing her.
Thank God. Okay. But there's this, flouting the law is leading also to the confusion between innocent Palestinians and Hamas, which could further Israel's plans for settlements on the limited amount of Palestinian land that they even have left after 1948.
So, Hills, what's your question?
My question is Congress concerned about these things and trying to work on it? Because the flouting the law thing, people need to go, they need to be held accountable.
Got it.
Yeah, so it's a little open-ended, these things. So let me at least address, I think, very quickly in Gaza and Palestine. Unfortunately, the majority of Congress, including many Democrats, I think have a unrealistic view of what's happening in the Middle East and are not looking at the devastation in Gaza and what Benjamin Netanyahu is doing and people getting food support, getting gunned down, and all the rest. So I don't see this Congress doing something positive on that. In general, though, I think at 30,000 foot, Hills, what you're saying is, why isn't Congress, you know, taking Article I powers, that we have the power of the purse, we have the power of tariffs and other things, and we're letting the president literally steal them from us? That's because it's a weak congressional majority. Mike Johnson is weak, and he's letting Donald Trump do whatever he wants, and they're afraid of him. And that's the problem. If you don't have checks and balances, you have authoritarians. That's why June 14th is Trump's Not a King Day across the country, right? He thinks he is, and he's allowed to be one by this speaker and the congressional Republican leadership. And that's why we need to speak out against that.
Yeah, absolutely. 44 minutes past the hour. Congressman Mark Pocan is with us for the hour, taking your calls. It's Middays with Mark, with the former chair, the chair emeritus of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, Congressman Mark Pocan. Pocan.house.gov is his website and also his handle over on Blue Sky. We'll be right back with more of your calls for Representative Pocan in just a moment. Stay with us.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman Program. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls.
Can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Drop what you're doing because Appleton has a whole week of fun just for you. Hey, it's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And you can enjoy an entire week of live local musician performances thanks to the 13th annual Appleton Street Music Week. June 9th through 13th from noon till 1, these musicians are donating their time to raise money to help support and elevate the community. And if you want to be involved, go to wgbw.fm and click events.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Join us weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on WGBW and WISS, now brought to you by Pickle and Bag.
For your next group outing, visit pickleandbags.com.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Summer, summer, summer. It's our Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dr. Kristen Lierley.
Mayor of Sheboygan, Ryan Sorensen.
If you want strong communities, you need to have strong, quality childcare accessibility in your community. You know, whether you have kiddos or not, it impacts you, whether directly or indirectly. And that's why, you know, being supportive of programs on the state level that can support local agencies is vitally, vitally important. So it's all intertwined.
This is not just for parents of small children.
This is mission critical.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Our daily song is now available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, Tidal, Deezer, iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other platforms. Just look for songs by Louise and Tom Hartman. Check it out. So tell me the truth. How many different beauty potions do you have sitting on your bathroom counter right now, eh? If it's more than just Vibrant Super C Serum, listen up. The ingredients in this one bottle can replace your day creams, eye creams, night creams, neck creams, wrinkle creams, and dark spot reducers. Made in the USA with the highest quality ingredients, including vitamin C, hyaluronic acid, vitamin B5, and vitamin E, Super C Serum delivers noticeable results. Louise loves this stuff. She just swears by it. Simplify your skincare routine, get a healthier complexion, and minimize wrinkles and age spots with Vibrant. And if you don't find it better than your current skincare routine, you get a full refund. Just go to Vibrance.com/Tom to save, T-H-O-M, to save up to 35% off and get free shipping. That's Vibrance, Vibrience.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. Vibrance, Vibrience, Vibrance.com. /Tom, T-H-O-M.
Now billionaires.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the hour. Congressman Mark Pocan with us, taking your calls for the hour. Glenn in Kalama, Washington. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good morning, Congressman. I want to know your thoughts about the concept of shadow legislation. We've talked about shadow cabinets, and we have named people. What I'm wondering is if why don't we get something to run on during this next campaign by coming up with shadow legislation, something you can campaign on. It would be something like breaking down H.R. 1 and adding H.R. 2, 3, 4, or 5, something we can vote on during the first month of our regaining power. Would you comment on it, please?
Yeah, I mean, Glenn, that's part of what I think we were talking about the Progressive Caucus. What are some of those things that we're going to aspire to so people can see that? And I've heard our Democratic leadership also say generally it's a little later in the election year that you sometimes see that platform, but they recognize the need to speed it up because of what the Republicans are putting out there. So I think in some ways what you're asking for is kind of in process, and I think it's a good thought. Also, Glenn, my aunt and uncle used to live in Klama. They both passed, but beautiful area up by you.
Steve in Katy, Texas, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, hello. I'd like to mention something, you know, a little bit from history. The Trump administration is being run like Tammany Hall. Every single political job is filled by somebody who essentially considers it a no-show-up job, a no-work job. And I just think we could make more of an issue out of that. The guy at FEMA, I mean, he got hired on knowing Trump was going to close FEMA, so you know, he puts no effort into it. The guys at the FBI think if they work more than 2 hours a day that they're just worn out. I mean, we need to talk first off just work ethic. Everybody that came to the were being reviewed by the, you know, Senate for confirmation, that none of them were prepared. They all lied or all stonewalled. You know, but everybody's just showing up, going through the motions, you know, pretending they're all no-work jobs. And, that, of course, lots of people talk about, you know, I work down here in the chemical business, that all the operators work, you know, 12 hours on, 12 hours off, you know, get up at 5 in the morning to make their shift. So, I mean, you know, we're hearing all this whining and nobody's doing anything about it at a big level. I mean, this seems like, you know, this.
Got it, Steve. You're starting to repeat yourself. Congressman?
Yeah, Steve. So I think you're really close to, I think it's not so much that they're going to non-work jobs, because I think they're on TV a lot because that's what Donald Trump likes them to do. But it's the corruption factor, right? He's appointing people that have, you know, that he's personally profiting from, or he's doing things that he's personally profiting from. His cryptocurrency is ruled as a collectible, not currency. He's inviting those people to tour the house if you've, you know, the White House if you've bought enough of it. The fact that he's getting, you know, $400 million jets from foreign nations. The, you know, you go on and on. The fact that when he said to buy stock when he was announcing something on tariffs, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Secretary Sean Duffy and other secretaries, Secretary Pam Bondi bought stock, you know, clearly looking very corruptly. Corruption, I think, is got to be an issue going into next year. And I think it's one of the major things we talked about yesterday at our Progressive Caucus retreat again, Tom, that we really see some real strength from judicial ethics to members of Congress buying stock to reforms on the executive branch. It's a real issue.
There you go. Brian in McDonough, Georgia, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan. We have a minute and a half, by the way.
Okay. Well, I just want to start by saying, you know, thank you very much, because, again, not a lot of people are doing this, but I think Democrats need to really temper their expectations. I mean, let's face it, Republicans control the legislature. They control the executive. There's not a lot. I mean, people want to say, oh, do something, do something, do something. There's not a lot you can really do other than shine a light on things, you know, let Joni Ernst, you know, make a fool of herself. There's really not much you can do. You can't pass legislation. I mean, maybe
so,
you can,
Brian, what's your question?
Accomplish something. I guess my question is, what realistically can Democrats do being in the minority?
Thank you.
Yeah, so elections have consequences. You're right, Brian. There's very little legislatively we can do, but we can put profile on issues. It goes back to litigation, communication, and elections. Litigation support the groups that are having the wins, 185 positive adjudications out of 250 cases. Stopping the Trump administration already is huge. Two, fight the disinformation with real information. Three, get ready for next year so we can flip the majorities and change and have real goalies in place and real oversight over the Trump administration. But we need to do that working together and be cognizant of, I think, everything that you brought up, Brian, but certainly expecting more. I forgot exactly how Hakeem Jeffries said it, but basically more is more. Like, we need to be doing more, all of us, and I think that is the expectation of our elected officials.
Congressman, we're just about out of time, but I see that Paul in Woodinville was going to ask, what about this provision that Marjorie Taylor Greene is objecting to now that prevents the courts from enforcing contempt citations?
Actually, her provision is on AI. That provision was a member from Nebraska who said he didn't know about that one. But that just shows they don't even know what's in there. I think that could maybe not survive the Senate rules for reconciliation, so that could get thrown out potentially there. I think it's pretty hard to have that judicial one stay. The AI, I don't know exactly. Again, that might be one that goes beyond what the rules are for reconciliation. Again, it's supposed to be fiscal in nature to get around the 60-vote rule, so a number of these things may not be able to last.
Right. Okay, Congressman, thanks so much for dropping by today. It's always a pleasure having you with us. We really value it, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tom, as always.
Have a great afternoon.
You too.
Thank you. On the other side of the break, David Pepper is going to drop by for a few minutes, and then I want to talk to you about the normalization of evil. And what does that mean? How does that play out? Stay with us.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
I know you've got a gazillion photos sitting on your phone right now. Well, don't leave them there. Get them printed for free and delivered straight to your door with Free Prints. With more than 1 million five-star reviews, Free Prints is the world's favorite way to get premium quality photo prints. No subscriptions, no commitments, just 1,000 free prints a year. Go to freeprints.com or download the Free Prints app directly from Google Play or the App Store. That's Free Prints or freeprints.com. Every weekday, I write a new original article about one of the critical issues of our day and publish it on our website, hartmanreport.com. I write these entirely by myself, so you're getting my unvarnished thoughts on national and world events. There's no advertising, and you can get them every single weekday in your email at no charge whatsoever. Or just read them for free with no ads by going to HartmanReport.com. I cover topics from climate to Congress to politics to the law, as well as social and health issues. You can find it all.
Escape to the hidden gem of the Midwest, Chula Vista Resort. Relax with modern comforts and breathtaking views. Thrill into water parks and swing into championship golf. Savor diverse dining options. Book your summer retreat now. Call 1-800-388-4782 or visit ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the top 10 indoor water parks in the USA with 26 water slides over 1.5 miles long. Find out more at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our Windsurfing Regatta and Music Festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage, this year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump has bumped tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from 25% to 50%. That move already drawing criticism from Canada and the European Union. Prices could go up here in the U.S. on big ticket items and smaller grocery items packaged in cans. ABC's Karen Travers at the White House says no trade deals have been finalized between the U.S. and other countries, and the deadline coming to an agreement is just over a month away.
The administration continues to negotiate trade deals, and they're saying to trade partners all around the world, give us your best offer. We are 35 days out from the end of that 90-day pause. And the president told me himself, at the end of that, if trade deals are not reached with those countries, the tariffs will go into effect.
Severe storms continue in the nation's midsection and smoke from Canada wildfires dipping further south into U.S. states. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed in afternoon trading. Tariff pressures weighing on the Dow. This is ABC News.